Health researchers, policymakers, and practitioners from 45 countries were here at the New York Academy of Medicine last week. They came to discuss a wide array of urban health challenges, including cholera treatment in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, condom distribution for sex workers in Bangladesh, pedestrian traffic fatalities in Nairobi, Kenya, and new drug control policies in New York City. Professor Trudy Harpham of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine cited the most common health risks faced by city dwellers worldwide.
Overcrowding, poor air quality, indoor air pollution, people still using types of fuels that cause respiratory problems, high density, dampness in many housing, simple lack of water and sanitation. In many of these areas, there's no water or sanitation in the household. There's still communal standpipes, latrines that literally hundreds of families have to share. Sometimes no latrines, open defecation in some of these areas. So housing and health is a big issue.
The relationship between health, housing, and other urban issues is a pressing concern in the United States as well, where 85% of the population now lives in cities, says Adolfo Carrion, a senior administrator at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
When you go to the challenge of trash management, of traffic management, of education, of healthcare delivery systems, when you think of noise levels and pollution levels, we have to deal with all those issues. And in that context, as a country in the United States, we need to create quality communities that offer quality opportunities.
A key to promoting urban health is encouraging preventative health care, with recommendations for proper diet and exercise routines, for example. Still, says New York Academy of Medicine President Dr. Joe Ivy Buford, many of New York's poorest residents cannot readily act on those recommendations.
You can give people information about how to live healthy lives, but if they don't have the opportunity, if they can't buy the green vegetables, if they can't exercise because the streets aren't safe or the parks aren't available to them, they can't act on the information. And that's the kind of environmental issue that's very important for us.
Indeed, in many cities, in both the developed and the developing worlds, access to quality health care varies widely between the rich and the poor. Danielle Ompad, an epidemiologist with the New York Academy of Medicine, says that the homeless, substance abusers, and undocumented immigrants are particularly vulnerable. She invites policymakers to imagine what it's like for such people to get a simple flu vaccination.
You need to have sick leave, or you need to be able to take off work. And we know that a lot of people who live in poverty have multiple jobs that often don't have sick leave or vacation. So first of all, they're going to lose money by trying to take off work for preventative health care.
Urban Americans mostly rely on hospitals and clinics for their basic medical care. That is not so in many parts of the developing world, where druggists, for example, will prescribe and dispense prescription medications. This grassroots approach is a key part of the Indian government's tuberculosis eradication program. Dr. Aparna Srikantam is with Lepra India, an NGO that partners with the Indian government. She was at the conference to tout its so-called DOTS program, which screens for TB, provides TB medicine when needed, and then allows people in the patient's personal circle to follow up.
Any person can be a DOT provider, need not be a doctor. A grocery shop owner or a priest or any person can hold the drugs with them and see that the patient takes the entire treatment so that the adequacy will be maintained. So once a patient is adequately treated, we are stopping 15 more transmissions. So that's how we are managing currently.
Indeed, according to Trudy Harpham of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, such partnerships between centralized authorities and grassroots healthcare providers will be the key to future advances in urban medicine.
It has to be a two-way thing. Communities have to have the power and the confidence to speak up about their needs and their desires, and government has to listen.
It's a dialogue that promises to become increasingly urgent as migration to the planet's urban centers continues to accelerate in the years ahead. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.